Welcome to the EAU podcast. In this edition, we have Dr. Andrea Apollo from the National Cancer Institute USA talking to EuroOnco Bladder Cancer Educational Platform Chief Editor Dr. Benjamin Pradier about the results of the Ambassador study that were presented at ASCO GU24.
Dear friends, dear colleagues, I'm very happy and very honored to have with us today Andrea Apollo. Andrea, you are the Chief of Bladder Cancer at the NCI, and you have released during this ASCO GU24 one of the most expected study in bladder cancer regarding pembrolizumab in muscle invasive bladder cancer as an adjuvant. So we were really looking forward to have this new data. So please, thank you very much for being with us in our EAU podcast. Could you please tell us about the rationale behind this study?
Well, first of all, thank you so much for having me. I'm happy to talk about the study. We're very excited also to be presenting the data. This study was designed a long time ago before there was any approvals or any availability of immunotherapy in the adjuvant setting. It started back in 2017, so there was there was nothing available, and it was meant for patients that with muscle invasive urothelial carcinoma, and this could be bladder, urethra, renal pelvis, or ureter. And it was really meant to provide a treatment for them, given that really the treatment, the standard of care at that time was observation after the patient undergoes radical surgery. Now, the treatment for muscle invasive diseases, if you have, if you're cisplatinum eligible, you can get neoadjuvant chemotherapy. If you're not, you go straight to radical surgery. But still, the recurrence rates are very high.
So more than 50%.
More than 50%. So what can we do to improve upon that? Along with the Ambassador study, there were other studies that were also initiated around this time, including the IMvigor010 study of adjuvant atezolizumab versus observation and the CheckMate 274 of adjuvant nivolumab versus placebo. And those studies have already read out. And the IMvigor010, unfortunately, was negative. It did not show an improvement in DFS OS. And the CheckMate 274 data has shown evidence of disease-free survival, but we have not seen the overall survival data yet. Now, at this meeting, I present the DFS data and the overall survival data. Both are interim. This is a second interim look, so the OS data is not mature yet. But we saw a great response in terms of DFS. So the median DFS for patients receiving pembrolizumab was 29 months, and for those in the observation was 14 months.
Wow. So that's a huge difference and a benefit for pembrolizumab that was not seen at the time of release of nivolumab in CheckMate 274, if I remember well.
It was similar. I think their hazard ratio was 0.70 in the initial study. So very, very similar.
Very similar.
Very similar. And it got approval based on disease-free survival. And our hazard ratio was 0.69. So it's very good with a 22-month follow-up.
So it's a randomized clinical trials. Can you tell us how many patients, what patient received before surgery? How many patients had a straightforward radical cystectomy? How was the patient characteristics?
Yeah, so 702 patients were randomized. And half of them had received neoadjuvant chemotherapy.
Okay, 50%?
Yeah, and about half of them had lymph node positive disease. So this is a high-risk patient.
Uh-huh.
We also did something very unique in that we included positive margins too.
Okay.
And that was a really small number. But, you know, it was nice that we have that data.
Okay.
So that was 2.5% of
patients at high risk.
Very high risk, yeah. Very high risk. And we did not limit the number of upper tract patients that could enroll.
Okay.
We had about 20% of patients with upper tract, either renal pelvis
20.
Or ureter.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Interesting. And regarding the DFS results, tell us about, have you made some subgroup analysis?
We did. We did a subgroup analysis, and it looked like there was benefit across subgroups, even regardless of PD-L1 status. The PD-L1 data was actually very interesting. It was not predictive of who was going to respond. It was prognostic, so patients that were PD-L1 high had a better DFS and better OS. Both had benefit. So for the upper tract, the data was smaller. And I think we need to follow and understand that data a little bit more. but the hazard ratio was not strong the way we saw it with the lower track.
Okay, interesting. And I think it's very important, especially for us in Europe, where, as you may know, nivolumab is not reimbursed the same way as in with the FDA. We need to have it's only in patients with a higher TPS and CPS PD-L1 status. So if you have a better result, that's also something that may have an impact in the future for the reimbursement and approval in Europe. Regarding the follow-up, how long have you been able to follow the patient so far?
So the DFS follow-up is 22 months, mm-hmm. and the OS follow-up is 36.9 months. So it's pretty nice follow-up.
So as you mentioned earlier, you said that the OS has been released today. It's just interim analysis. It's not mature.
It is. It's an interim analysis.
It
did not meet its endpoint, and the hazard ratio was 0.98.
Okay.
But the data continues to mature. This is interim data, and there was a lot of censoring after 36 months. So the hope is that we'll have more mature data soon.
That's great. Can you just give us like a little idea of the perspective of these results that you have presented today for 2024 and maybe 2025? What do you think for the future of Pembro as an adjuvant treatment?
I think Pembro is active and should be considered as a therapy for patients in the adjuvant setting based on this data. Mm-hmm. We know that pembrolizumab is active in the metastatic setting. We know it's active in the neoadjuvant setting with smaller studies. And right now it's being studied in combination also in the neoadjuvant and adjuvant setting with enfortumab and vedotin. Mm-hmm. So we know that pembrolizumab is active, and I think that it's a good treatment option. We need to do better in terms of patient selection. You know, these adjuvant trials are so large because we over-treat so many patients that don't need it. Mm-hmm. So I think selecting the patients that really need it is going to be really
risk,
key.
Yeah.
And who those patients are, we need good biomarkers. I'm really excited that within this trial, we are doing ctDNA analysis. We have actually
Fantastic.
Two platforms.
Uh-huh.
We're using the Signatera and we're using the Foundation One Tracker. So that data, that's being done right now. So we don't have
okay.
that data yet, but I think that's going to be really important.
Okay, great. That's really exciting for the future of Pembro as an adjuvant treatment. Thank you very much, Andrea, for your time. And hope to see you soon.
Thank you so much for having me.
Thank you for listening to this episode of EAU Podcasts. To keep up to date with bladder cancer developments, visit our educational platform, EuroOnco Bladder Cancer. For more EAU podcasts, please go to your podcast app and subscribe to our EAU podcast channel for regular updates.